Okay, let's begin from where we stopped last week, and we were at the end of page 247. We had completed that, and we continue on page 248. The verses that are mentioned in 248, that is 77, 78, and 79, along with 80, a small commentary of that was already given at the end of page 247. Okay? Now it reads, 248, "Have you seen him who disbelieved in our signs," referring to the Holy Quran and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "and yet says, I shall certainly be given wealth and children? Has he known the unseen, or has he taken a covenant from the most beneficent Allah?" What has he? Is it that he knows what will happen in the future? Or is it that he made a promise with Allah that this is what will happen? 79. "Nay, we shall record what he says, and we shall increase his torment in the hell, and we shall inherit from him at his death all that he talks of, and he shall come to us alone." Now, many of the ayats and verses of the Holy Quran, there is an immediate case for its revelation. Many of them. In other words, what did these verses, or what were these verses revealed about? That's the first question. What was the occasion, which is called in Arabic Sababun Nuzul, the cause of revelation? Many books have been written on Asbabun Nuzul, causes for revelation. And then the general message and meaning from it. Obviously, let's look at the law regarding tayammum. The law regarding tayammum was revealed when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had undertaken a journey, and it was the journey towards Banul Mustaliq. And returning from the journey, they reached such an area where they could not find water. Because of the fact that the necklace of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was lost, it kept back the entire group with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever he went on journey, he will normally plan his journey. So he will plan ahead to know that at such and such a time, for certain salat, I will be at such a place and water will be available. However, being kept back now, he could not reach that area where he could have gotten the water to perform wudu. The time for salat had arrived. They searched for water, there was no water to be found. So the Muslims, they were in the situation where they were asking the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Here is it, we have to perform salat. The time for salat has arrived. We have searched for water. We have not found any water. What should we do?" Upon that, the law of tayammum was revealed. That if you are in such a situation and you cannot find water, what do? You perform tayammum. Now, that would have been the cause of revelation for the law of tayammum. Isn't that so? It was revealed regarding that. But is it that this law of tayammum is confined to that situation? No. The case was used for that law to be revealed by Allah, which gives the general allowance to the whole ummah, forever and ever, as long as the world continues to exist, to perform tayammum whenever they find themselves in a situation and they cannot find water. So that is the immediate cause, which is called the Sabab al-Nuzul. But yet, that law that was revealed, it is forever and it is for the entire ummah. So, with respect to this, it is stated, according to the tradition which has been recorded by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, where Khabbab ibn al-Arrat radiallahu ta'ala, he went to ask ibn Wa'il to recover the debt that As bin Wa'il had owed him. So he was saying, "In order for me to pay you, you must deny Muhammad. The person you are following now, you must deny him. Then I will pay you." He says, well, that is impossible. If that has to happen, then you will die, and then you will be resurrected, and after you are resurrected, then probably I can do that. In other words, it is something which is called, a phrase which is called in Arabic, ta'liq bil mahal, attaching something to such a condition which is impossible. It cannot happen on the face of the earth that he dies, is resurrected right here. So Al-Az bin Wail says, do you say I will be resurrected? I will die and be resurrected and give back life? Well, if that's the case, well, when I am raised again, well, I will have money there, then you will come to me and I'll pay you. That was the situation surrounding the cause of the revelation. But yet, the general understanding, it is there. So Al-As bin Wail, the incident has gone. Al-Khabab bin Arat, radiallahu, their incident has gone. But what is the lesson from the ayah? Allah says, have you seen him who disbelieved in our signs and yet says, I shall certainly be given wealth and children? Which means that to develop an attitude like that and to develop, you know, yourself in such a state where a person continues to do wrong but still believes that, well, things will go good, I will be good, I will be better than anyone else, and my wrongdoings will have no effect on me. That is not in accordance to the teachings of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about two things in the Holy Quran. One is called jaza and one is normally known as saza, meaning punishment and rewards. Punishment is connected to a certain thing and rewards are connected to a certain thing. You cannot be doing the thing to bring about a punishment and yet hope for rewards. And it is totally impossible that you are doing the things which will bring about rewards but yet you are punished for it. It is impossible. Whatever man may see, that is connected to his thoughts. A man may look at himself as doing a tremendous amount of good deeds, yet he's affected with calamities, trials, and difficulties. He sees these calamities as a punishment, but they are really not forms of punishment. No, they are not. Because it is totally impossible for a man to be doing good deeds and yet be receiving punishment. No. What you may be receiving, trials from Allah, a test of faith, test of patience and forbearance, test of your iman. Maybe it is to raise your status in the sight of Allah, but not punishment. On the other hand, the Holy Quran is mentioned already in the verses that preceded these verses. Those people, remember the incident about the Quraysh. They were being taught about Islam, they were being taught about good deeds. They looked at those people who were teaching them and looked at themselves and said, well, we are better off than you. We don't believe we have wealth. We don't believe we have honor. We don't believe we have prestige. We are the chiefs. You believe and you have nothing. You have no wealth, you have no food, you have no clothing, you are struck with poverty. We are better off than you. So Allah revealed those verses to show us having wealth, having prosperity and riches in this life is no sign that they are rewards for anything a person has done. Allah has decreed and divided provision, so it will come. So here, it is not proper that a man does certain things that are wrong in the sight of Allah, that are unlawful, but still he believes, well, that's no problem, I will continue to reap good and reap good deeds and rewards. No. People who behave in this manner, Allah says, has he the knowledge of the unseen? Does he know what will happen in the future that he's making such a statement? Or is it that Allah has made a promise to him that no matter what the situation is and no matter what deeds you do, I will continue to give you good? Is it a promise from Allah? No. Nay, Allah says, we shall record what he says. Whatever he says, that is being recorded. And it shall be used against him on the day of judgment to show that he lied. And we shall increase his torment in the hell. And for saying that, his punishment will be increased. That's one. And as for what he literally owns, Allah says, and we shall inherit from him at his death all that he talks of, and he shall come to us alone. Now the case with Al-As bin Wail, he had wealth, he was not paying the debts, he had children. So these things made him feel proud. These things brought arrogance in him, and he started to speak like that. So Allah says, okay, when he's about to die, he will go, and everything that he has, it will come to us. We will inherit it. We will inherit that. And all these things that he used to become arrogant, and all the different things that he placed his trust on, he looked at it, his children, his wealth, his farm, whatever have you, Allah says nothing will be with him on the day of judgment. He will come all alone by himself, nothing to help him. So it continues in verses 81 and 82, saying that the unbelievers are cautioned that those whom they take for worship shall all deny them on the day of judgment and shall become their adversaries on that day. It's a very regretful state. People build their hopes on certain things in this life. They live their entire lives on the hope that I will get some benefit. The hopes of people that they tie onto certain things is that whenever I am in trouble, such and such a thing will help me. And then when the thoughts about the hereafter comes about, the afterlife, the hereafter, they console themselves, well, these things that I worship, they will come to mine help on that day. Allah says, it will not happen like that. They will not be able to help their own selves on that day. And rather than your friends, they will become your open enemies and opponents on that day. So they will leave you. When you have built your trust on these things, and when it is time for you to reap the benefit of all the worship that you have given unto that person, you cannot reap anything. They will turn away from you. As such, they should heed, take heed, and worship the one true Creator, who is truly the owner of honor, power, and glory, and will certainly come to their help on the day of judgment if they believe in him and worship him. He says, and they have taken for worship other gods besides Allah, that they might give them honor, power, and glory, and also protect them from Allah's punishment. So why people turn towards these things? Why people turn towards names? Why people turn towards so many different things to worship? They hope to get honor. They hope to get respect. They hope to achieve something worldly. This is why, even though they fall sick, they have the hopes that these things may cure them, and they will get up and go again and again. And they tie their hopes on these things in this life as well as the hereafter. Allah says, me. But they, the so-called gods, will deny their worship of them. They will deny their worship of them. Meaning, on the day of judgment, a group of people will rise, and those people or those things that will worship will also stand up. The people who worship them will turn to them for help, and they will go to these things and remind them, we used to worship you on the face of the earth. Can you not recognize us? These things and people or beings will deny them and say, no, you did not worship us. We do not know you. You do not belong to us. And they will begin to speak in this manner, and they will shove them away. They will push them away. And they, these whom we worship, will complain to Allah, saying, oh Allah, oh our Creator, oh our Lord, we did not tell these people to do what they did. They will argue with the ones who worship them. They will become their opponents and enemies on that day. So the Quran says, but they, the so-called gods, will deny their worship of them and become opponents to them on the day of resurrection. That is, it will not happen as they had thought and planned. Instead, the gods whom they worship shall absolve and disassociate themselves from all that which their worshippers said or did, and would become their open enemies on the day of judgment. They will not be friends. The subject of warning continues from verses 83 to 87 in Surah Maryam, where it is mentioned that due to the wicked deeds of the unbelievers, Allah has appointed Satans over them who continue to incite them into sin. Whenever we do a good deed, it encourages us to do another good deed. One good deed attracts another good deed. One good deed makes another good deed very easy. And a man continues to tread this path until he becomes a good individual. But likewise, one sin leads to another sin. One sin paves the way of another sin. One sin makes another sin easy. And a very important thing that has been mentioned here is that when people turn against the laws and the teachings of Allah, and they become wrongdoers, and they do not do good actions, because of the evils and because of the sins that they are involved in, Satan becomes their enemy. Satan becomes their enemy. And when Satan becomes their enemy, their friends, then these Satans incite them to do the wrong deeds that they are doing. They are with them. They work on their minds. They incite them. They tempt them. They put words in their minds. They tamper with their brains, and they make them believe that the wrongs they are doing, it is good. So the Quran says here about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have sent shayateen ta'uzzuhum azza, that puts into them and incites them into wrongdoings. As such, what is the effect of the Satan having some form of control over them? It is visible in the actions that they continue to do. As such, they go deeper into transgression and disobedience and begin to spread mischief and rivalry on the face of the earth. Whenever you have a friend, then your friend wants you to do like he does. He wants you to become like him. He encourages you to do what he does. Among two friends, there is always one who is stronger and one who is weaker. And the weaker friend will fall to the what? Domination of the stronger one. He will fall. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iyyaka wa qarin as-su." Beware of wrong and bad company. Beware of bad company. Why? فَإِنَّ الْمَرْعَ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ. For certainly a man normally treads the path of his friends. You will be like your friends. Whatever they like, you will begin to like. However they speak, you will begin to speak. What they hate, you will begin to hate. If they dislike a person, you will begin to dislike that person, even though that person didn't do you do anything. It happens like that. That's life. So therefore, when Satans become the friends of people, then the shayateen and the Satans make these people like them. That is the friendship. They make them do what they want them to do. As we say, they get a back to ride on. They have someone they can make do what they want. How do these Satans work? They whisper. They tempt. How do they whisper to us? The Quran says, "Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurinas," they whisper into the hearts of men. But how does that take place? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna shaytana yajri majri ad-dam." Satan flows and he moves in your body like the blood flows in your body. You can't recognize it. You can't feel it. You can't sense it. That is how Satan works. So when Shaitan have been made the friends and associates of people, that is a very dangerous beginning. Very, very dangerous. So, as it states here, they go deeper and deeper into transgression. So people are used by Satan now to cause fitness, mischief. People are used by Satan to cause and to bring about wrong deeds. Every single type of wrongs that there exists, people are being used by Satan. That is how it works. This is why when we ask Allah for protection and refuge, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind. And then it goes on to say, who are we seeking refuge from? Al-Khannas, the one who whispers and runs away. Okay? Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudur an-nas, who whispers in the hearts of men. So Allah says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind. مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, the king of mankind. إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, the God of mankind. مِنْ, from what? مِنْ شَرِّ, from the evil. Waswasil, from the waswasa, the evil whispers, the temptations of al-khannas. Khannas is the active participle of the word khanasa, which means a person who comes to you, he says something, he runs away, and you just carry out what he wants, what he said to you. Shaitan does that. This is why Allah calls him khannas. He comes to you, whispers in your mind something, he runs away and he leaves you to do it. And what does this khannas do? Alladhi yuwaswisu. He is the one who drops the waswasa and the evil whispers. Fi sudurinas, in the hearts of mankind. So, O Allah, we are seeking refuge in you from this khannas, from this shaitan. But this shaitan is not only from one species. Min al jinnati wan nas. This shaitan is from among jinnats and also from among human beings. So human beings are used as agents of Satan also. They are used to do the work of the Satans. This is why we are being asked in that surah to seek refuge in Allah from this Satan who exists in the form of a jinn, min al-jinnati, and also in the form of human beings. Okay, so people will be used to do the work of Satan. However, they will continue. So mischief, there will be an uprising of mischief on the face of the earth. And there will be wars and battles and killings and murders. And every single type of crime, because people will be used as agents of Satan. Dominated by Satan. But they will not last very long. Their term will soon come to an end. And they will be taken back to Allah for reckoning and judgment. So all will go. The believers and also those people who are not believers. The shayateen and the human beings, they will all go. At that time, those who believed and did good actions shall be presented to Allah as honored guests with great respect and admiration. And those who disobeyed Allah and became wrongdoers shall be driven to hell like thirsty flocks. Allah says, see you not that we have sent the shaitan and the devils against the disbelievers to push them to do evil. This is why they are sent. To push them to do evil. Here, Allah says that He has entrusted the Satans upon the unbelievers to tempt, incite, and instigate them to sins and wrongdoings and produce great excitement and arousal in them for sinful actions. As such, people who continue to be tempted by Satan, people upon whom Satan has been entrusted, they love to do wrong things. They love. It is a pleasure. It is a joy. Although they see certain things that tell them that it's wrong, it is not good, but the joy and the fulfillment and the excitement they have in their hearts to do that wrong pushes them to do it. This is what shaitan does. The Holy Quran says, زَيَّنَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Satan makes wrongdoings beautiful for wrongdoers. So although many people may see that it's not good to do, and it is wrong, and it is evil and wicked, wrongdoers do not see that. They do not see it. A person will commit a crime, he will go back and do the same crime. He will be punished, he will come and do the same crime. There is a sense of enjoyment and fulfillment in the person when he does that. That arousal and excitement comes from who? Satan. That is from Shaitan. The great commentator, Ar-Razi, Imam Fakhruddin Razi, in his famous book, Tafsir Al-Kabir, he says, the Satans incite them to sin. That's the first thing. The Satan incite them to sin, meaning, first of all, Satan whispers the sin in the heart of a person. How does that whispering take place? Person might be sitting, not thinking about anything bad, and just a thought just flashes in his heart. Well, you could do that. Why are you wasting time? Go and do that. So the thought comes. That's the waswasa. Once the thought is wrong, that is from Shaitan. That is the waswasa, and that is how it works. We can't feel anyone saying anything to us. Waswasa does not occur like that. The thought comes in the heart. It comes in the mind. After that, what happens? This is how Satan works. He incites the person to the sin. So the idea comes and the thought comes, well, I can do that and this can, I can do this and I can do that. And then what he does? And then he rouses them to committing it through temptations and evil whispers. Yani, he brings about the feeling in the person to do it. He brings about the feeling of thirst, want, need in the heart of the person that he really wants to do it. He really wants to commit that action. That is how Satan works. Until that action becomes enjoyable by the person. The Quran further states, when this is the case, these are the people around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People have become friends with the shayateen and the devils and the Satan, and they are involved in so much wrongdoing. It means that wrongdoings will surround the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and wrongdoings will surround us also. When people begin to be used as the agents of Satan, the only thing can be the result of that. It is wrongdoings and evil. So when such a time comes, people become upset. They look at the state. They can't deal with the state anymore. Not that the place they can't deal with the people that surrounds them. So the desire in the heart comes, why are not these people punished and done away with? As we say, why can something happen that there are no kidnappers anymore, and there are no criminals anymore, and there are no thieves anymore? Because they have become a pest to society. So anyone living in the midst of wrongdoers and criminals will always have the desire that they are removed. That's the desire for every, because no one wants to live among such people. So such thoughts would have come in the hearts of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also. living around some people, such people who have that mutia. So Allah says to him, so make no haste against them. Make no haste against them. We only count out to them a limited number. What does it mean? It means, do not make haste in asking for their punishment, O Prophet. That is what it means. O Prophet, you don't make dua to Allah to punish them immediately. You don't make dua to Allah that He brings about some form of terrible punishment and azab, immediately they are removed. Don't make haste in that. They have only a few days and a few breaths remaining, which we have counted. Allah says the amount of breaths they have, it is so small, we have counted it, only a few. Their years, we have counted at only a few. So have sabr, endure what is coming to you, and it's a lesson to all people, whatever you are living in, Allah is not blind. He sees what is taking place. Endure, be patient, that will come to an end. Because wrongdoings, sins, iniquities, wrong actions can bring nothing except destruction. Whether now or after, whether in our life or not in our life, but that's the only result of that. So Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not make haste in asking for their punishment, O Prophet. They have only a few days and a few breaths remaining, which we have counted. After this, they shall be dragged to the eternal punishment of the hereafter. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, while commenting on this verse, it means that Allah is saying, we have counted their breaths in this world just as we have counted their years. So it shows Allah's supreme power and complete knowledge. Not that Allah knows how many years we have again to live. Look at Allah's complete knowledge. Not only that Allah knows how many years we have again to live, but He knows how much or how many breaths we have again to live. Subhanallah. That seems to be impossible for any man to know. But this is a sign of Allah's complete power. How many breaths a person take for the day? How many days he must live? How many years he must live? Multiply by the amount of breaths per day. Subhanallah. That is Allah's great knowledge. Verse 85, it states, the day we shall gather the muttaqun, that is the God-fearing, unto the most beneficent as a what? Delegation. It means that on the day of judgment, the pious and the righteous ones shall be gathered in front of Allah in a respectable and honored manner. Subhanallah. They would be exalted, lofty and high, and shall be presented to Allah in the same manner as honored delegations are presented before a king. Subhanallah. We see how people are presented before kings, before presidents. When people are respectable and they come from a far off country, or they are in the eyes of that president or king, respectable, special arrangements are made. Special vehicles, special bodyguards, securities, carpets, soft places, sofa, cushion, all these things are done when honored people are presented in front of a king or a ruler. This is the same way Allah describes that the believers and the God-fearing ones shall be presented on the day of judgment in front of Allah. With that respect and with that honor, they will be amongst the angels. The angels shall be their bodyguard, and they shall welcome them, and there will be a very, very great welcoming for them on that day. As for those people who were wrongdoers, those people who continue to commit sin, what does the Quran say in verse 86? And we shall drive the mujrimun. We shall drive the criminals to hell in a thirsty state. This is how they will be driven to the fire of hell. It means that the sinners and wrongdoers shall be driven in a thirsty state to the fire of hell, just as thirsty animals are driven to the well. The commentary goes further. They will be driven barefooted. They will be driven in a thirsty manner, and what will show that they are thirsty? Their mouths shall be open and the tongues will be out. Like if they are looking for water to drink. And in that manner, in that thirsty state where they will be asking for water, they are wrongdoers, they are sinners. They disobeyed their Creator. They did not do any good things, any good actions. They will be driven. Meaning, the believers will not be driven on the day of judgment anywhere. They will be asked to move. The angels shall be walking on their sides, taking them to different places. They will be treated with honor and respect. They will be spoken to in soft words, with words of peace. Salamun alaykum. Peace be unto you. Words of peace. They will not be driven. But the mujrimun and the criminals, they will be driven. Why they will be driven? Because the direction they are ordered to go to is not pleasing to their sight. Jannat will be there, paradise, heaven, and the hellfire will be there. And they will be ordered to go in the fire. Who would like to go in the fire? So they will withhold themselves and they will not go forward. And then the angels will be commanded to beat them and pull them, but yet they will not be ready to go. So it shall be ordered that chains shall be wrapped around their necks and they shall be dragged on their bellies. Angels in front and angels behind, like how animals are driven. This is how they will be treated on the day of judgment. This is not unjust. They had their whole lives on the face of the earth to do something to save themselves from that which they were hearing about. But they did not utilize their time properly. In fact, they ate all the favors of Allah on the face of the earth and still continue to be ungrateful to Him. And this is what Allah has placed in store for them. Verse 87 goes on to say, none shall have the power of intercession. So, in that state of punishment, in that state of being driven and being dragged, everyone who is in punishment will be looking to another one for some help. So they will be looking forward for someone to tell Allah to stop it. Or they will be looking to someone, for someone to say to Allah, oh Allah, please, this is my father, this is my brother, this is my uncle, please release him. Whenever a man is in any difficulty, the first thing he looks for is some help. Be it help from among human beings, or be it help from Allah, from His Creator. But the first thing he looks for, it is towards help. They will also be looking for some form of help, and the only form of help for them, because Allah has decreed already, Allah has already issued His command. So the only form of help they can get, it is what? That one should intercede for them. Because they will look at the side of the believers and they will see that the believers are interceding one for the other. Believers will be able to do that. They have iman, they have faith. Allah says, but they, none shall have the power of intercession. No one will be allowed to intercede for any one of them. No one. But such a one who had taken from the most beneficent a covenant. Yes, one person. One person to whom Allah has given a promise, and Allah has given the okay, as we will say. Allah has made a covenant with the person that I will accept you to intercede, or I will accept someone to intercede for you. Except that person. Who is that person? With whom Allah has taken pledges and covenant that they can intercede for such people. It means, the commentary goes on, that on the day of judgment, the unbelievers and wrongdoers will have no one to intercede for them except that one who has a pledge or promise from Allah. It means that if Allah has mentioned to him directly or indirectly through the teachings of the Quran and the words of the prophets and the messengers, if Allah on the face of the earth had made a promise to any individual, then yes, Allah will fulfill that promise in the hereafter. So if a man rises on the day of judgment and he comes before Allah and he says, well, Allah, Remember, you promised us in the Quran to give us so and so. Allah will keep His promise. Allah will surely fulfill His promise. So here He is saying, no one will be able to intercede for such people except if there is one to whom Allah has made a covenant with and given a promise. According to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, the word ahd, which is mentioned in the Quran in this ayah, which literally means a pledge or a promise, it refers to the testimony of the shahada, la ilaha illallah. So yes, Allah says, it is mentioned in the Quran, in the collection of traditions, that those people, no one will be able to intercede for them, no one. But yes, Allah says, if there is anyone who has brought faith in Allah and declared the kalima and believed in it, yes, I will allow people to intercede for him. At that time, he will not be from among the mujrimun. So which means, for some reason or the other, if a person, because of his wrongful actions and misdeeds, he happens to fall in the fire, Allah will allow prophets or allow righteous people to intercede for him. Why? The promise was, anyone who has iman in their heart, others can intercede. So we understand, meaning the first thing is, such people who will be thrown in the fire of hell, no one can intercede. But yes, one category of people, those, according to the commentary given by Abdullah bin Abbas, those who have the shahada, well, then Allah will allow someone to intercede for them. But if they do not have that, no intercession. This means that whosoever believes in Allah and has testified to this kalima, his intercession shall be made. In verses 88 to 91, the belief of sonship for Allah is outrightly condemned, that Allah has begotten a son. Allah has a son. There is a son who is known as the son of Allah. That is condemned in these verses. Such statements are regarded as the most heinous and outrageous statements one can make about Allah. Worst statements. To blaspheme against Allah. Allah says that such blasphemy is so serious and severe that the heavens have almost burst apart. The earth has nearly broken to pieces and the mountains are about to fall one by one for the statement of this. This is what the Quran says. That this statement is so grave. Such a statement shakes the heavens. Such a statement rocks the mountain and is ready to burst the earth apart. How can Allah, because every singleton recognizes who Allah is. The earth, the trees, the plants, the animals, the heavens, the sun and the moon, every single thing recognize Allah as one. Having no partner, having no mother or father or children, then among all the different things, when Allah has solely created the whole world, the heavens and the earth, the skies, the oceans, every single human being, Allah alone has done that. Allah alone produces vegetation for the whole mankind to eat. Allah alone produces animals so that human beings can enjoy. And after, Allah alone has done it from the very beginning until now, how can a man dare say that someone else with Allah has done that? How can a man bring himself to utter such a statement? After Allah has been alone, who al-awwal wal-akhir, He's the first and the last, who al-wahid, He's the one and only. How can a man, after reaping so many benefits from Allah, says that no, Allah has a son or Allah has a partner that helps him, that supports him, that makes things easy? No. This is why it is such a grievous statement that the Quran says the heavens are ready to fall apart. Subhanallah. Do you know what it is to reach this? Now, these are words of Allah. We believe in them. They are the truth. The revelation from Allah, the Quran. So therefore, the almost bursting apart of the heavens is a true thing. Do you know how severe that statement has to be for the heavens to burst apart? Subhanallah. Do we look at the mountains? How strong they are? Do you know what intensity the statement must be to rub those mountains out there? Do we know? Allah knows. We can't see the unseen. But Allah is telling us. It is such a grievous statement, such a painful statement, that the creation of Allah is ready to burst apart when people utter such a statement. The Quran says, and they say, the Most Beneficent has begotten a son. As the Jews say, Uzair, or Israel, is the son of Allah. And the Christians say that he has begotten a son, Isa, that is Christ. And the pagan Arabs say that he has begotten daughters, angels. These angels are his daughters. Allah says, indeed, you have brought forth a terrible evil thing. What grave thing you have said, O man. How dare you utter such a statement? Such a statement whereby the heavens are almost torn, and the earth is split asunder, and the mountains fall in ruins, that they ascribe a son to the Most Beneficent Allah. It is totally impossible. Allah further explains to man in verse 92, but it is not suitable for the Most Beneficent that he should beget a son. Why will Allah take a son? That is the question. Why things happen? So if it is that this is the case, then the question is as to why would that happen? Is Allah incapable of forgiving sins on the face of the earth that he needs a person to shoulder that responsibility? Is Allah incapable of feeding the entire creation on the face of the earth that he needs another help? Is it that Allah needs a person to come down so that this person will become a mediator between him and Allah? No. Need someone. This help can only be understood if there is some deficiency in the Creator himself. That yes, he needs help. But if there is no deficiency in the Creator himself, then why should a person need someone to help him? This is why the Quran says, it is not suitable for the Most Beneficent, yani Ar-Rahman, the Most Compassionate, that he should beget a son. It means that he, Allah, is free from that which they attribute to him. He is high, sublime, majestic, and all-powerful. Hence, he has no need to have a son, a partner, or even a helper. Allah doesn't need that. This, he says, is known to everyone in the heavens and the earth. He being alone, he not needing a son, not needing a helper and a supporter, every single thing in the heavens and the earth knows that. His entire makhluk knows that. This knowledge is not hidden. His entire makhluk knows that. And since they know that, each one humbles before him as a slave and servant and not as his son or daughter. You understand that? Because each and every one of his creation knows that he is all alone, and he has no helpers and supporters. When they come to him, they do not say, oh Allah, I am your son or I am your daughter, so please help me. They submit as Ibad al-Rahman, servants of Allah. They humble themselves, calling him their creator and their Lord, and humbling as servants of Allah and slaves of Allah. It's not as anything else. The Quran says, there is none in the heavens and the earth but comes unto the Most Beneficent as a slave. They come to Allah as slaves. He knows each and every one of his servants from the time he has created them. From the time he has created them, he knows each and every one of them and keeps a full count of their numbers. He has full knowledge of their actions and their beliefs, and each shall have to appear before him on the day of judgment, all alone by himself, without having any helper, protector, or defender. This is explained in verses 94 and 95, where it states, verily, he knows each of them, and has counted them a full counting. He knows everything about them. He knows how many they are. He knows what they do, how long they have to live again. He knows everything about them. And every one of them will come to him alone on the day of resurrection. So although they are saying so many things, on the day of judgment, they will have to face Allah all alone by himself. And then they will realize he's all alone, but it will be too late to realize it. Having explained the willful state of the wrongdoers,
Allah mentions one beautiful state of the believers which comes to them while they are still alive in this world. He says in verse 96, "Verily, those who believe and work deeds of righteousness, the Most Beneficent will bestow love for them." We'll end there, inshallah, we'll continue next week.